This is WebHack Wednesday, episode 10.
Welcome to WebHack Wednesday. I'm Martin Beery.
And I'm Martin Kern.
And today we're talking about JavaScript promises, async stuff, and how to deal with it in a modern JavaScript world.
Well, it certainly promises to be a lot of fun, Martin.
It's the worst joke ever.
I'm getting good at these jokes to begin with.
We need some kind of reprimand. I don't know if that's not particularly great. But anyway, we're going to be talking about how to do... The problem with dealing with JavaScript, someone which maybe isn't a professional JavaScript developer, is having to deal with async stuff. That's probably the most difficult aspect of JavaScript to get your head around.
Absolutely, yeah. And when I first looked at promises, my head exploded slightly.
Well, not even if we talk about promises, but even if we just start thinking about JavaScript and then just the way that things... JavaScript is like a single-threaded thing. There's lots of... So when you make call-offs to other things, you have to do that asynchronously. Things come back in different orders.
Sure.
It can be difficult to start with. Promises is actually a way of dealing with some of that craziness and making sort of more sense of it and making code easier to read.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at some of the problems, how you would solve it with promises, and then how you'll solve that, or how you could then solve it with some new async syntax, which is inside of Microsoft Edge. I've got a very simple HTML page. All it has is a body tag and a script. And that points to this webhackwednesday.js, which is the JavaScript file which we're going to use for this.
Sorry, but the indentation is upsetting me slightly there. I think...
Is that better for you?
Better, thank you.
There's loads of things wrong with this HTML document, but that was the one
that was the one that jumped out at me in particular.
So I've just put a script tag in this document. It's nice and simple. And then I've got a webhackwednesday.js file. And in this file, I create some elements, all H1s, because that would be nice and big for our screen. And then it's got ones at the got going to have the word or text first, second, and third.
Good.
So if I now just add in how we would write those to the document.
Yeah.
So this is standard JavaScript where we say document.body.appendChild first and second. I'm not even going to add the third at the moment. I'm just going to add the first and second. So it's going to do this in order.
Yeah.
Synchronous. Hmm. So it does it in a sequence, I guess.
Yeah.
Synchronous means more than that, but for the purposes of this, synchronous code is stuff which happens in a sequence.
Yeah.
So we can positively suggest that first is going to happen first, and then second is going to happen second. Yeah. We know that order is always going to be the same case.
Sure.
So if I save that, and I'm just going to go back into my console, and I'm just using...
The world's biggest fonted console.
It's pretty huge, isn't it? Yeah. So CLS, I'm just going to run this. In my application, I'm just using a little node server called Live Server, which makes it nice and easy for me to write code. And as I write code, it automatically updates and stuff. Anyway, we're not going into what Live Server is. But you can see it's printed first and second, and it's added those in order. So it's synchronous. It's writing it in order, which is perfectly good. But the reality is that we're often calling functions which are not synchronous. So if you ever make a web request in JavaScript, that happens asynchronously. Right. You don't really know how long it's going to take to come back.
Yeah.
So rather than wait for the whole thing to come back, what JavaScript does is it makes the request, and then it will call back. So when it's complete, when on complete, when the function's happened, it will then return that thing.
Okay.
So let's just add something which is asynchronous into our code. So one of the simplest way to write an async or mimic an async is to create a set timeout.
Okay.
So this is going to do exactly the same. It's going to create append the first child, and then it's going to add the second child. But it's going to do it on a timeout, which is a random number anywhere between 1 and 2 seconds. So now I'll just if I just comment out those two, which are adding the thing to the document. Okay.
What was that keyboard combination?
It was Control-K, Control-C in Visual Studio Code.
Control-K?
Control-K, Control-C.
Because, of course,
Were you going to come up with a joke?
No, K for comment, it's not...
Yeah, there's a lot of things where they've got so many key... This is in Visual Studio as well.
Yeah.
When you have key sequences for keyboard shortcuts, Control-K is often the way that you start getting things going in a key sequence. So Control-K is like entry point for an extended command, and then Control-C. So it's Control-K, Control-C, comment, C, Cif, comment. And to uncomment, it's Control-K, Control-U.
That's the great thing about you, Martin. You just know these things. I would have just been, that's how it is. Deal with it. But you know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, well, so anyway. I sort of do. Actually, if you ever need to know a function shortcut in Visual Studio Code, if you just press function F1, and say if you wanted to do comments, here you go. It says add line comment, and it tells you the shortcut, Control K, Control C, and everything else. Right, so Control,
There's a guy in our team. And he'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
Because Stuart Leakes.
I know Stuart.
Who's complete and utter keyboard geek. So he'll really enjoy all that because
Stuart Leakes knows all of this for sure.
Well, yeah, but he'll enjoy that we've like mentioned it because like using a mouse or he only likes using keyboards.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a mouse fan. That's terrible, isn't it? Yeah. But I appreciate keyboard ninjas, like people which are really
able.
He
is a keyboard ninja.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him a t-shirt.
So what I've done, going back to the simplest level of JavaScript, is that I've added that, and I've kind of made it semi-asynchronous. We don't know which one of these is going to happen in which order. It's like, ooh, look. So I've saved it.
It's like exciting in some way.
It is, yeah. So first and seconds. Second and first.
Who knows?
Second, first.
Oh, wow,
first,
crazy.
Second. Because the random number generates any number between one and two. So now it's effectively like this is happening asynchronously in different orders.
I'll tell you what, this is the craziest website I've seen since Ling's Cars.
it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ling's Cars being the finest website in the world.
Of course.
This being the second.
Yeah.
So we've got this now working in our set timeouts. Now, sometimes we might have these asynchronous functions, these things, which we might not. They're asynchronous. Maybe it's a request to a website. We can't make it synchronous.
Yeah.
But we do want it to run in a certain order. So we've seen synchronous code, asynchronous. There's three types of synchronous you need to worry about in JavaScript: synchronous, asynchronous, and NSYNC.
Okay. NSYNC.
NSYNC is a band from the 90s.
I was going to say, that's a band, isn't it? Yeah,
it's a band from the 90s. Actually, so far in my JavaScript career, I've never really come up against much to do with NSYNC in JavaScript. So you can probably...
Is it a real JavaScript thing
No, it's not. It's not, actually.
It's just a band from the 90s.
You can forget about NSYNC, actually. Okay. Just never forget about Dre.
No.
Don't ever do that. No. But let's do... So set timeout. We've got our set timeouts, and we're going to do... We're going to try and convert that into a little bit more of a meaningful kind of a way of dealing with async.
Okay.
And there are lots of libraries out there which have had this problem before. How do we figure out how do we manage this complexity of asynchronous code? And in JavaScript, there a common pattern to solve this problem is called promises.
Okay.
And there are a number of promises libraries written over the years.
Right.
So many, in fact, that the community got together and wrote a standard for promises.
Okay.
And then that standard evolved so that all library manufacturers, these promise libraries, would be able to write to a specific standard and they'd all be able to interact with each other.
Cool.
But then it's changed from just being a standard to now being a fully ratified part of the JavaScript standard.
Okay.
So you can create a promise in ECMAScript 6, which is the next version of JavaScript.
Like ECMAScript 2015?
Yeah, that's its official name now, I think.
Yeah.
ECMAScript 2015, it has a function, it has an object called a promise, and that's like a fully sort of a thing now, a fully standard part of the language. Okay. It's no longer just you don't need libraries to use stuff.
Okay.
The reality is, because browser support isn't quite there yet, and because you might have to support older browsers, you will probably need to use promise libraries if you want to use this in production.
It's not quite fulfilled its ultimate promise, but
it's not a fulfilled promise. Yeah, it's a work in promise.
Okay.
A work in promise, a work in progress. So rather than having two set timeouts where it's kind of unmanaged, what basically a promise does is it encapsulates some logic or some functions.
Yeah.
And it sort of wraps a bit of state around it. It tells you whether that piece of work has actually taken place.
Okay.
And what we've got here is I've created a variable called myPromise, and it creates a new promise, so a new object promise. This is a native object inside of JavaScript.
Yep.
And that promise accepts two parameters. So it takes two functions, basically. The first function is, when we're creating a new promise, it only takes one function. That's a lie. It takes a function which is a resolver. They call it a resolver function.
Okay.
And basically, this function, which we provide it with, it's an anonymous function, i.e. it's a function without a name, has two parameters which are passed in, resolve and reject. So what we do is we do our work, which is exactly the same as the piece of code up before. We do a set timeout. We document.body.pend first child. and we do it in a random, this timeout's random number.
Yep.
But when this timeout's called back to us, rather than just doing that, we append the child, but then also we call resolve.
Yeah.
And what resolve does is it says, this piece of work has been finished. So basically the promise has been resolved.
Okay.
So anything which is looking at this promise can now say that that's been resolved, that the piece of work's been done, and you get a value back as well. So the promise can if it wants, it's optional, can return a value. Right. So this piece of work isn't going to return a value, but it could be a particular value from that promise. What's cool about promises is that you can we'll see in a moment, we can chain them together with other things.
Yeah.
But promise only is only ever executed once.
Right.
So even if you create a promise and then you call dot then on it, and then later on in your JavaScript you call a dot then on it again,
yeah,
you're always going to get the same result back. Once it's resolved, it never recompletes, right, it never tries to go and do something else. So
it's like a promise that's only good once. It's not a lifelong promise.
No, it's not encapsulated. It's not a function which, when you call again, it's going to change. It's a promise. It's true to its word. It's only ever going to execute that piece of code once, and it's either going to resolve it, which means it's successful and it's completed, or it's going to reject it. If I got an error code back from this piece of logic and I said actually something went wrong, I could reject it.
Right.
And though basically the promise is then being rejected.
Yeah.
It's failed in some way. And when we chain these things together, when we chain promises together, that's important because we can have a whole an array of kind of promises which are all chained together. And if one of those fails, then we'll get some information about it erroring. So let's just say we've got, I'm going to remove my set timeout code. I've got my new promise. I'm going to try and consume this promise now. So I just do this. So I've got this variable set up as promise. Now I've got my variable. Because it's a promise, it has some functions on it.
Right.
And one of the functions that it is dot then. So once it's done this work, and the first piece of work that it's going to do is it's going to append the first element, then it's going to do the second piece of work.
Yeah.
And what I've done, oops-a-daisy, is...
did you say oops-a-daisy?
Oops-a-daisy, yeah. That's fine, isn't it?
I realize that's still a phrase, but okay.
Something's happened in my code. Sorry, I've just noticed I've, for some reason... Let's just do that. What's going on? So set timeout. Sorry, something happened in my... if I do set timeout, that's my set timeout code. And then close that. I don't know why, but I got in some kind of brackets problem there. So now I have my promise. And when that's complete, I can then, in the then function, I can pass over two functions again. This is the function that's going to take place if it resolved correctly.
Yeah.
And I could pass in a second function, which would happen if it rejected, something to do when it rejects.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to worry about error handling at the moment.
No,
I'm just going to worry about...
Don't worry about that.
So we've got my promise dot then. So once something happened, it's going to then do a set timeout, and it's going to append the second child. So we've got a promise which does one thing, and then when that's complete, it's going to kind of... it's going to then do the second child. So hopefully, if I look at my code now, first, second.
Cool.
And it doesn't matter how many times I refresh this, it's always going to happen in that order because the second thing can't take after the thing I was going to work then. But the second one always comes after the first.
Yeah.
You've chained them in such a way that we know that that's going to happen. So it's kind of made, it's basically allowed me to write or take asynchronous code and then write it in a sequence so that I know it's going to execute in a specific order, which might be important for certain scenarios.
I guess when you start sort of chaining these together, this might get quite messy still, and if you have multiple then statements.
Yeah, and it does get messy quite quickly. Actually, it's better
To be honest, it looks pretty messy already.
Yeah, but that's just because you don't like my indentation, Martin. But
yeah, that, true.
But it's...
And it's JavaScript.
It is quite messy. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily need to. There could be a lot of syntactical sugar that we can place around this. So at the moment, I've just taken a variable and set it up as a promise. But let's see if we can make a function, which is a promise. So this is the same idea. We've got now a function called addElement. We pass an element to it. And it creates a promise. in exactly the same way as we created a promise before. And it also, that inside that promise, it's doing a set timeout, it's appending the child, it's resolving it, and it's doing returning back after a certain amount of time. So we've got exactly the same idea. And in the function, we're returning a promise. Right. So this function is effectively now going to return a promise to us. Okay. So instead of calling my promise, I could call this add elements.
Oops. Right, which, OK.
So I could say add element, and then pass over first, which is the object that, oops, first. And because it's a promise, it can then be called dot then.
Got it.
Which is fine.
Yeah, that's really good.
We could use another little bit of syntax, which I find quite useful, an ECMAScript kind of syntax, which cleans it up again a little bit. So now here I have a, I've got a function called
add element.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering why. No, why this is all.
Is it in the wrong order?
No, it's because I've done that for some reason. I've got a function called add element. I'm passing in the first object, and then I'm calling in that function again, add element. And then I'm calling that function again with a third parameter.
Yeah, that's much neater, isn't
it? It is much neater, the syntax. What this syntax...
Is this what you call syntactical sugar?
It really is, It just cleans up the syntax.
Good.
But it doesn't really change the underlying process of what's happening.
No.
This expression here in ECMAScript 6 is called... I don't know if you know what its official name is called. I call it a lambda or a fat arrow.
Fat arrow,
Fat arrow. But that means... create an anonymous function.
Okay.
So it's kind of the same, or it is exactly the same, as writing this syntax here. And we could write this syntax.
But the other one looks a lot nicer.
Yeah, it does. But that does exactly the same thing. And that's clean things up, especially with new syntax. That looks really neat.
It does, I'm happy with that.
Are you? Yeah. Well, I'm going to make you even happier.
You're going to blow my mind.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be upset. I know you're going to be upset for this, a little bit here, because this editor doesn't understand the code that I'm about to write.
I'm just going to have to overlook that, aren't I?
So we're going to get red squigglies.
Yeah, okay.
But just try not to let it hurt you.
Yeah, I'm there. Thanks for the warning, though.
So I'm going to use this keyword, async. I'm going to write a function called...
Definitely seen that before somewhere.
Do this stuff.
Where.
Let's see. Yeah, that async functionality, it looks an awful lot like C#.
It does.
But let's just not talk about C# because I'm sure there'll be people maybe watching this who don't necessarily know C#.
Okay, so that's a new thing. Mind you, we can't really claim that we don't copy things ourselves, can we? Let's finish.
So anyway, moving on. Async
function.
I don't know.
It's fine.
So we've got an async function, do this stuff. And I'm going to call await.
Okay.
And I'm going to say await.
That was familiar as well.
Add element. Well, it's the async await functionality, isn't it? And I'm going to say await first.
Async await combo.
Yeah.
Copy
async await first, second, and third, like that. So what I've said is this function, the stuff that's happening in the moment, is asynchronous.
Yeah.
And the functions that I'm calling are asynchronous. And I'm using this await keyword to say, when you call this, call it almost like it's synchronous code, it's in a sequence. Call it, so await for the result for this thing to come back before you move on to the next thing.
Yeah, got it.
Which means that we're going to get first, second, third again. So if I'm just going to call this function.
So this is not part of ECMAScript 2015, is it? This is a whole new...
Yeah.
It's even newer than that.
So this is ECMAScript, the official ECMAScript 7 stuff. It's a proposal that has come from the Chakra team in Microsoft, which are the guys who write the JavaScript engine for Edge. And they've written a specification for this. And they've added it to, they've proposed it for ECMAScript 7. So this isn't ECMAScript 2015. This is ECMAScript I want to say 2016, but I don't know if that's...
Right. It might be 17. But some future version of ECMAScript
7. I don't know what the official vote name for it is, but that next version, of it, it's kind of in there. And we have a working version of inside of Edge. Okay. So this syntax will only work in Edge at the moment.
Right.
But I'm sure that it will be added and adopted by other browser vendors because it is really nice, this syntax.
It is nice, yeah. Apart from the squigglies, but I know that's not...
I'm sure there's probably a way inside of Visual Studio Code that I could support this, but I just haven't got around to it yet. So async function, await. So it's awaiting all that stuff. I'm just gonna comment out this other syntax.
Control K.
Control C.
It's Control K and then Control C.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to tell you. So it's like a sequence. Control K, Control C. Yeah.
That's what confused me a little bit.
No worries.
Right. It's easy, don't they?
So now, first, second, third.
Yeah.
But it's running with this new async functionality.
Cool.
So it's taking asynchronous code, and actually some of this is superfluous now. I don't need to actually create a promise. Mm. It's the await syntax. Actually, whatever comes after this has been wrapped in a promise, effectively. That's the new syntactical way of writing these promises. Awesome. It doesn't hurt that I'm calling a promise a function which returns a promise, but I don't have to.
I suppose with that way it works in whether you're doing async await or just promises. So
this
it's
is
probably a safe way.
The reality is, this syntax is just promises.
Yeah.
So it's all just syntactical sugar.
Yeah.
Very clever people have come up with a really nice syntax for this, but it's all using promises in the background.
Sure.
And promises aren't that magical either. They're just these. And there's some great, I'll put it in the show notes below, there's some great documentation on how you, if you want to write your own promise library, how you write it from scratch. And it shows that it's clever how they're doing these things, but ultimately these are ways of maintaining state of these asynchronous operations.
Okay.
And that's really async operations.
And once again, we've built a wonderful, functional, beautiful website.
Yeah, that's possible. I didn't even make calls to a website. I actually just called set timeout 3 times. So if that's your particular use case, then I've just saved you like a ton of time. If you need to build a website which prints one, two, or three.
Maybe it's like a countdown website for some kind of sporting event.
Yeah, and like they want to do a really terrible job of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, then just use that code. So thank you for joining us for Webhack Wednesday. I've been Martin Beebe.
I've been Martin Cairn.
See you next week, next Wednesday, for another topic on the web.